This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you, back in studio, back from state wrestling. Congratulations to all the medalists and the young men that made it down there. A couple of trophies coming home. Grand Island, the runner-up in A. Amherst, the champions in Class D. We'll talk with Coach Tyler Herman a little bit later on in the program. And it's not over yet. State duels are this week. We'll cover it here on ESPN and Classic Hits 98.9 from the UNK Health and Sports Center. State swimming is also this week. And then the state basketball tournaments the following two weekends. Girls and boys sub-districts and districts continue this week. So the postseason just keeps on rolling along. We'll also have Gene Bierbaum in studio today. While Turkey Federation banquet is coming up, we'll talk with Gene about that. Jimmy Langan, good to see you again, man. How's it going?
Real good. What do you think of that Amherst dynasty?
It's okay.
It's something else, isn't it?
It's okay. I'll tell you what, to have that kind of talent and to have, I mean, that's what they do over there. And to see what they're doing at the level they're doing it now at D2, D1, back and forth they go. And to be, they've got a good group of guys, and their girls have done well as well. They've had a good girls' basketball season, and their boys are ranked in the basketball. Their wrestling team continues to do well. Their football team has made deep runs in the playoffs the last couple of years. They even got a couple of kids that can swing the golf club, run track. I mean, they got a one of the schools around here that's got it going right now. When you, again, we talk cyclical. It's not cyclical in wrestling over there in Amherst.
You know, I taught driver's ed there, so I didn't know the kids very well. But there were like these eighth graders, and they're telling me what weight class they're going to wrestle when they're in the ninth grade and who else was going to be where. You know, I mean, so they had it figured out. If they all have to do this, I'll have to cut 4 pounds, or I got to gain 4 pounds. I won't be able to beat him, so I have to go do this. I mean, they had this whole thing set up. You know, we had 14 weight classes set up, and they're, you know, they've got this for a 5-year plan. I mean, so yeah, that's amazing when it was after the first run. Because, you know, it would have been really amazing if they would have never won it. That would have been more of a shock this year. But what I'm saying is, they put the wrestlers in place. And they have 90-some points by the first day. You know, you're sitting there going, hey, this thing's over now. I guess my point is this isn't the same kids wrestling with the same last names all the time. I mean, this is something that the program's going. People are different. People are getting set up. When there's upsets, Amherst is doing the upsetting. I mean, you're going, hey, this is a surprise. We got an upset. Who won? Well, a kid from Amherst hadn't beat this kid all year, has now come in and has upset this kid. So, you know, they're gelling at the right time. So, yeah, I was really impressed with them.
And that's the one thing when we've been around, and when I say we, anybody, whether they're coaches, administrators, referees, radio, newspaper, TV, and you get to know the kids a little bit more than if you're just here a couple of years and you move on, and that's – you know, you watch a match like the heavyweight match in D, and it wouldn't matter what it is, but you've got Tanner Hercock of Amherst and Zach Zaleski of Overton. Now, Pleasanton had never won, and I should have probably pointed this out more, but Pleasanton had never won an individual state championship, and Overton had never won an individual state championship. And I guess we just kind of all thought Zach Zaleski was going to win. He wasn't 100%. He'd been sick. That's not an excuse, but you could tell during the match, you know, when a big fella's sweating like he's sweating, and he doesn't do that the rest of the time. But Hercock does what he – you don't want to play anybody 4 times. right? Mm-mm. We hear that in basketball all the time. That's about the only sport where you can play somebody that many times. We don't want to wrestle a kid that many times either, because it's going to get closer probably every time, because each other knows what the other guy's doing, and then it just comes down to one mistake. So while you're overjoyed and you feel so good for a kid like Tanner Hurkacz, you feel so bad for a kid like Zach Zaleski. But the cool thing is, Zaleski is a great kid. He's going to bounce back after this, and he's going to have go on to do great things. And both of these guys are. But you just kind of feel. You've been one all year. You haven't really been touched. And the one day, and there's other kids in here, the sophomore from Columbus. He won it last year. He's undefeated this year. You're heading towards four. I mean, that's the problem with being a four-time state champion. You can be dominant as a junior and senior, but if you didn't have the right thing happen your freshman and sophomore year, you're not going to be a four-time state champion. And there was a handful of kids that had that. There was a two-timer that got beat in the finals on Saturday.
Well, speaking of that match, there was some controversy on the end of that, wasn't there, Doug, towards the end? What did you feel? What did you think? You were there. Could you, did you have an opinion of it, or are you just shaking your head that you think, yeah, I don't want to say anything?
Yes, I have an opinion, and I'm not going to talk about it.
You're not going to share it?
No.
Well, I what I've heard was that the thing should have been tied up.
But you can't see now.
But the referee changed his mind. At first he made a call, and then he reversed his call. Is that correct?
They went over to the table to find out if time had ran out or not. Yes.
Right, okay, so they went over to the table, not... The official didn't do it on his own. He went over to the table for help.
Obviously, the Overton people feel that there was time, and the Amherst people believe that the match was over.
Oh, okay. So there isn't a correct – I mean, don't they have instant replay on this that we can kind of look at?
No,
you and I can't.
No.
No, okay.
No.
All right, well, let's talk about something else. Doesn't sound like this is something you wanted to talk about.
Well, no matter what you say on a subject like that – then you feel like you're picking sides.
Right, exactly.
And I'm not picking sides.
Good deal. Yeah, and I wasn't there.
Another reason that I say Zach should hold his head high, because I know he is a excellent kid. And now you get to watch his little brother.
Right.
And let's see if Dylan, who's just scrapped in there, you know, came out of nowhere at districts. I still say it's hilarity that you got one brother that's 285 and one brother that's 106, and they were the ones that represented Overton. But there were so many other great stories and these ultimate tiebreakers and these close matches, and I thought it was as loud for the finals throughout the day, because you also had a couple of team races, especially those whack jobs from O'Neill up there. And I say that with a grin, because you could hear them the whole time. They knew in the first round of wrestlebacks that they needed wins and they needed pins. They only won by two. So every round counts, every match counts, every point counts. And sometimes that's hard to keep in your, you know, you're a kid going, man, I barely got here. I'm a four seed, but my team's good. You know what? Maybe it was the one win by the kid that had 10 wins
good
all
point.
Season that got you the necessary points for the state title. I mean, they all count. So congratulations to all those youngsters. Connor and Nolan Laux, it's a family affair over there at Hastings. Their dad, Brian, the head coach, freshman and senior, so the only year they get to wrestle together in high school. They both win. Edgar Silva and Billy Thompson of Grand Island. Dakota Hernandez of Lexington. Tyler Bailey of Sutton. David Gross of St. Paul. Tanner Hurkacz, Peyton Shockey of Amherst. Colton Lammers of Pleasanton. Brody Lewis of Franklin. And William Bloom of Elm Creek. Congratulations to all of those youngsters. And we'll talk with Tyler Herman coming up in a little bit. Our Midtown Mart cooler question today. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. How effective is the NFL Combine in showcasing future draft talent? Very effective or not very effective? You think the NFL Combine shows it obviously doesn't show you everything you need to know, Jimmy, or they wouldn't have individual workouts, or guys would do everything that's required of them at this combine. Has the combine run its course?
Yeah, I don't know. I it gives you an idea who can cover what. You know, when you're a linebacker and they do these drills, I kind of like the drill when they say, hey, you're going to go up here, you're going to serpentine this, and then you're going to go back, and then you're going to have to cover a guy. Because that's exactly what you're doing when you're playing linebacker. You're playing run first, and all of a sudden now you got to go, oh, here's a tight end. I got to go get a piece of him, and I got to recover and try to do as good as I can to get that guy covered. And, you know, one thing about the field, it's only 53 and a third yards wide. You know, your best defensive player is always going to be that out-of-bounds line. So you've got to be able to do things quick. And then, of course, they want guys that are big and quick, you know. So, yeah, that's kind of what that's about. But it doesn't teach you who's going to jump off sides on third down and five. Doug, you know what I mean? Or which guy? Oh. Yeah, hot. And that guy's always, he's always moving on that deal, you know, so.
888-455-ESPN, if you'd like to join us on the program today, 888-455-3776. If you would like to email the program, it is douganddaddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That's the Dent Popper inbox, the Twitter address for any of your tweets, at ESPN1460-1550. At ESPN 1460 1550. By the way, our Midtown Mark Cooler question over the weekend was: the Big Ten Conference is considering making incoming freshmen ineligible for athletic competition in major sports. Is this a good thing? And 75% of you said no. 25% said yes. It's especially a bad thing if it's the only conference doing it. We had a good debate on that on Friday's show, and then we didn't really hit that portion of it. But come on. This isn't 1955. Come on.
Yeah, that's what they used to do in the 1950s. Yeah. You know, 1960s even. You know, I think Lou Alcindor, when he was at UCLA, he couldn't play his freshman year. And the only game UCLA lost that year was the what did they call it, the blue-gold game, because the freshman beat the varsity, you know, because Lou was on the freshman team.
Yeah. Well, if it's universal and it's across the board, that's one thing. But you can't pick and choose in this day and age anymore. Also, brief comment on this, because I don't know what you say. As Coach Tim Miles said yesterday, you don't want to throw your kids under the bus. And then he drove it over them, because that's where they are right now. And here's what I say about this, Jimmy Langan. I try to stay on the same line as long as I can until I'm proven right or proven wrong, or as anybody does in an argument. But as this whole thing was going on last year, just like football this year, you better win, Mike Riley. Last year, as I continue to say, let's wait and see. Okay, Tim Miles is not a basketball god. We have just found that out, haven't we, folks? Everybody that was going bonkers, yeah, it's fun to go to Pinnacle Bank, and it's fun to win, and it was a magical ride. But we're talking big picture of this program, set at the beginning of the year, totally overrated. I didn't think they were that overrated, Jimmy. I didn't think that this would be a dumpster fire, and that's exactly what it's turned into. And I don't see these guys winning another basketball game this year.
Yeah, that's a heck of a
And that's unfortunate.
Well, you know what's kind of interesting? And it is. I mean, I've only been on the show as a co-host for 2.5-3 years, you know. But I would have to say, you know, when last year we talked about how Creighton and Nebraska, and I even brought up Wichita State and Kansas, we're having nice years. And in this area, this is really nice because people that our listeners that are in the Superior area or someplace like that that are listening to the show, that, you know, they follow Kansas State sports pretty well too, you know. And so, you know, there was an area of where we had a lot of success, and it was really a fun year to cover NCAA men's basketball because everybody around here was having some success. But right now, I mean, this is not a good deal at all, and like you said, you might as well call it the way it is, and that's what's nice about. And I said, I think last week, Doug, it's fun that UNK men are having a good year right now because they're the team to watch right now. The UNK men, you know, they have a shot to get do some damage in a tournament and maybe make some postseason, you know, and be involved in that. But the University of Nebraska and Creighton are not going anywhere, you know, and the University of Nebraska was expected to be in the top 25 by some sports writers. They were predicted in that. You and I didn't think they were that good, but no. We thought they might be 500. I never
thought they'd miss the NIT.
I never thought they'd get beat at home by Iowa by 30.
It's body language. It's a lot of things that you got to wonder, and we'll hear from Coach Miles a little bit later on. But your thoughts, love to hear from you, because Tim Miles isn't as great as he was last year, and he sure can't be as bad as he is this year. I mean, there's an in-between. You want to root for the guy, and you want the program to do well. But from the I told you so. Take it easy. Let's see what happens. And here's what I said, I think, of, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You got to finish with a little bit of a good taste in your mouth. I was hoping that the team would have a shot to get to the NIT, make a couple, because they've got great recruits. This is the best class maybe Nebraska's ever had. And you don't want them coming in when the program is falling down. And falling down, you got to keep the team together. And now it's leadership. Now it's the guys that are in Shields and Pettaway and some of the big names. You start inserting true freshmen into your starting lineup at this time of the season, you know that there are problems. with some of the personnel. So let's see how it all plays out. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Tyler Herman of Amherst six times. They're going to need a new you got to go to the other hand now for all those rings. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, it'll be mostly sunny with a high near 29. Tonight, mostly clear with a low near 16. For Tuesday, sunny with a high near 46, and Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low near 24 degrees. Currently, it's 16.
Doug and Daddy Show back in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. South 2nd Avenue Kearney and thinkmidway.com. You can experience the Buick President's Day event going on now. Getting up to $5,000 cash back on select 2014 and 2015 Buicks in stock. You can see them now at South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or, of course, thinkmidway.com. How about checking out the 2015 Terrain at the Midway GMC, get 2.9% APR, and of course, 5 years for qualified buyers, plus current GM owners are able to pick up, oh man, how about that, lessees and owners, an additional $1,500. So you're driving one of those around, you want a new one, they're going to help you out. Check it out now at your Midway Auto Dealers, Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac GMC in Kearney. They're there to bring home the deals at Midway, thinkmidway.com. Well, what do you think, man? Everything good?
Yeah, I feel like I could use that $1,500.
Who couldn't use
that? That's right. Give me that little, you know, that's amazing how you can get a $1,500 this and that. But you always have to spend a lot, though, too. It's not like you know,
those aren't free.
Yeah, we get the vehicles. You know, you got to have a vehicle. You seem like you have to write them a check anyway, even when you get your $1,500 back.
Did you have a busy weekend?
Oh, you know, I went to North Platte on Saturday, and went to senior night at Kearney High on Friday, and then I guess I wasn't busy, but you know, I did what I wanted to do. I had a good time. North Platte beat Millard South. Shot the ball really well. I think North Platte went 6-18. Now 6 wins and 18 losses. So it wasn't a major upset. I think Millard South's 10-12. But Millard South, when they come out there, they always go, this is 5 hours. It's 5 hours out here. I said, yeah, it's a big state.
Yeah, and you should see what's west of here.
Yeah, it's a big state. You know how many times the North Platte has to go to Omaha?
Yeah, why don't you go to Alliance?
Yeah, there you go.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to be along with you. Amherst picking up their sixth consecutive wrestling title this Saturday night in Omaha. And we are joined now by the head coach. It's kind of a tradition, and it's a good tradition to have. Tyler Herman's with us. Tyler, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Did the girls like the trophy as much as you did?
Oh, yeah, they thought it was pretty cool. The little one, my one-year-old, she kind of thought it was a toy, I think. She loved playing with the big wrestler on top there. So, yeah, they like looking at it.
We are, it's been fun watching you guys. And, again, this year there wasn't as much pressure because we knew that there were no other teams that should have been able to match up to you. But you can't ever take that for granted. What do you think was different about the whole year, this year as a whole, compared to the past? Because you said one of the things was getting these guys prepared to try and qualify for the finals, which you had five on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. We knew as long as we stayed healthy and wrestled like we're capable of, the team race would take care of itself. So most of the year we talked about individual state champions and putting kids on top of the podium. We hadn't had a returning state champion. And that was our goal, and we were awful close. We were awful close to having five state champs this year. You know, we lost 2 1-point matches in a match in the ultimate tiebreaker. You know, so we were close to going 5-0. Instead, we went 2-3 and came away with a couple champs. And you know, that was the biggest thing. We wanted to get guys on top of that podium, especially our seniors. You know, we had six seniors, and we wanted them to cap their career the right way with that gold medal. And you know, a couple of them got there, and a couple of them didn't. But it wasn't for lack of effort. You know, I thought we had a great state tournament. Every single kid on our team, all 13 qualifiers, at least won two matches. We had every single kid still wrestling Friday night, 9 in the semis and 4 on the backside. So, you know, overall, a lot of good things, lots of big wins, and a lot of heartbreaking losses.
Well, every tournament, every event has some things that stir the pot a little bit. So you bring up one of the two things, and then we'll move on back to all the good feelings. One of the two things is when you're fortunate enough, like in Amherst and a lot of the Class A schools, Kearney, Hastings, Rand, when you get 10, 11, 12 kids that are wrestling, and I find it ironic that at some points in the tournament, it's okay to move matches and keep all the mats going. And then when we're wrestling for third and fourth and fifth and sixth, it's like, okay, we're stacked four deep on a mat. How do the coaches and athletic folks at each school get to voice their opinions to the NSAA about changes, or is that all done down there in Lincoln?
Ron Higdon does a great job. You know, he's our director for wrestling for NSA, and he does a great job of listening to us coaches and getting our input on things. And I'm a part of the NSA wrestling committee myself, along with seven other coaches, led by Ron Higdon. And so, I get a voice my opinion on a lot of things, which I'm very fortunate in that aspect. But you know, I think, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. And it's been like that for the state tournament a lot of years. You know, where you may have three guys going at once, you know, on some of those matches on Thursday, and thankfully we have three coaches on staff, and we can take care of that, and that's not an issue for us. And most of the time, the schools that do get in that situation, they do have enough coaches on staff to kind of take care of that problem.
I know up top we thought, what's the rush to get out of here? It'll take another 15 minutes. So that's just from the sixth level, Tyler.
I get what you're saying, and I know you're talking more about the semifinals when you have, for instance, where we had Peyton Shockey wrestling in the semifinals. On his mat, on mat 7, and then they were done with the wrestleback matches, and you got Tanner Hercock wrestling on mat 8 in the semifinal match. And, you know, I would rather see them just have all the semis on mat 7 so we don't get them split apart. Like you mentioned, it takes maybe another 10, 15 minutes. So maybe that's a change that they make in the past or here in the future, you know, to kind of change that up. And like you said, I think it'd be a good change, and it wouldn't take a lot more time out of people's day.
And Saturday, as you mentioned, that's just a gut-wrenching. I mean, four of your five finalists have 1 point, and there's a couple of them that obviously could have ended differently. Just take me through the emotions when maybe you catch a break, maybe you don't catch a break. Does it all even out? Unfortunately for the team, it might all even out, but the kid only gets that one shot.
Yeah, exactly, and that's how you have to look at it for each individual, you know. Brant Florell, you know, that just breaks my heart. I woke up last night about 2 a.m. and I think I laid awake for an hour just thinking about matches like that. you know, a match where he's up 1-0, he scored the only actual point in the match in regulation, and he's riding the kid out like he's supposed to, doing what he's supposed to be doing, and the ref calls him for stalling with 6 seconds left. You know, I don't understand that when a guy on top hits a tight waist ankle, golden rule is on bottom, you don't switch into that. You don't switch into that at handcuff shit. That's what the bottom guy did. He switched into it. We're crowding him, riding him out, and we get penalized for it. You know, I don't understand that. And I had a lot of people. It's not just me. Obviously, I'm biased. But I had a lot of people after that match. And if you look at a comment in the Omaha World Herald today from one of their writers, that they didn't care for that call either. It just stinks. It stinks to work all those years and have it come down to a ref decision there in the last 6 seconds of the match. And, you know, it's not right. I think the kids should decide it on the mat. But I guess that's how it goes. You know, I'm not the only coach in that situation. There are a lot of coaches, I'm sure, that didn't necessarily care for some calls. But that's life, and that's wrestling, I guess.
And then on the other side, I'm sure you can feel that. What was going through your mind in the Hurkacz match in the last second, I guess?
Oh, boy. You know what? I looked at the clock when Tanner had Zaleski's foot pitted up in the air. I looked at the clock, and there was like 2 seconds left. And by the time I look back, it seemed like another second ticked off, and then that foot slid out. And he gives the one-point escape. And I immediately am pointing at the table like, hey, check with them. You know, I don't know if time's out here or not. And I didn't know what he was going to call. He checked with the table help, and I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit, of course, as any coach would do, to hear what they were saying. And the ref told him, he goes, well, you guys got to help me make this decision. What happened? And they said time was out. So, you know, thank goodness we came up on the right side of that maybe controversial ending. And, you know, Tanner ultimately out-wrestled him, I thought, anyway. Tanner almost turned him with that wing at the end. If we turn him with that wing in the last 30 seconds, it doesn't matter. But Tanner did a great job of riding him out. Every other time Zaleski's beat Tanner, it came down to him giving up a takedown or maybe not being able to get that takedown. And the key here was riding him out for the victory.
Yeah, Coach, you know, wrestling's kind of a natural sport when I look at it, and I don't officiate this, but there some seems to be controversy because of some of the rules that are in place. I mean, you can get called for stalling and rewarded a point. You know, after you've stalled enough times, then it can turn into, hey, you're going to lose a point here, or, you know, you can have some things, you know, that, I guess a wrestler, somebody throws somebody down and he's unable to wrestle. I mean, you know, he's down 8-0, but if he comes down too hard, and that guy's unable to wrestle. So there is some controversy with the sport. I know in basketball when I referee that I miss calls all the time as I'm running up and down the floor, but luckily there's 32 minutes, you know, where something else can happen, and there's more than 1 point scored. Usually the games are, you know, 65-60 or 55-50 or something like that, where in wrestling, you know, you have some matches that are 0-0 or 1-0 where an official, his decisions have to, you know, decide some matches every once in a while. I feel really bad for the wrestler you talked about, though, to getting called with stalling with 6 seconds to go. I don't like it myself, and I don't officiate that sport.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's just, you know, it's tough for everybody. It's tough for the coaches, the kids, and the officials. You know, it's a high stakes there in the state finals, and it's an important match. But, you know, ultimately, I think you let the wrestlers decide it and, you know, take it out as an official. You take it out of your hands. And, you know, I'm not the type of guy that complains about officiating. I never have, and I'm not going to. I just hate to see it end that way.
Another minute here with Tyler Herman so we can let him get back to class there at Amherst.
Oh, you're good. I have a student teacher, so I got a little time here.
we'll keep you all the time we can. Tyler, just future of the program here. You had some quality seniors.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some very good seniors. Six of those seniors that were at the state tournament all came away with a medal. You know, so that was great to see. We do have 7 qualifiers back. 4 of those qualifiers are medalists. We also have a good eighth grader right now, Sam Florell, Brand's little brother. You know, he'll be a freshman next year. We have an 82-pounder that was a match away from medaling. We had a JV 45-pounder named Tim Christensen that if it weren't for Logan Dibbern, he'd be in the varsity lineup, and he probably would have been a state qualifier. So we have some good kids coming back next year. We do have to reload, as I like to say, not rebuild, reload a little bit. But I tell you what, we'll be right up towards the top again next year competing for another state title.
And the difference, I think a lot of people when they're running dynasties or being a part of dynasties, obviously everybody wants to knock them off. And the longer the dynasty goes, then the more people that are rooting against you. So how compare and tell me a little bit about trying to catch up to Pender and Howells. Then you finally win one, and now you're 6 years in. Do you have to coach any differently? Do you have to do anything differently?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all the same. I think this success breeds success, and these kids, you know, they see what the older kids have been doing through the years, and they want to keep that going. They don't want to be the team that ends the streak. You know, so everything's pretty much been the same. I still have the same hardworking kids I've always had for the last 11 years. You know, it's been a great ride. It's been a lot of fun, I tell you what, you know. But it isn't all fun and games. You know, there's a lot of pressure involved with it and a lot of nerves and a lot of nerve-wracking matches. But I tell you what, I couldn't ask for a better place to be a coach, and I couldn't ask for some better kids to work with. I've been very blessed and very fortunate to be in the situation that I'm in. And, you know, I still don't think it's all sunk in yet. You know, I'm 32 years old, and you know, it just hasn't sunk in yet. I think someday maybe when I'm done coaching, everything will sink in, you know, what was accomplished here by all the kids that I've coached and the great program here at Amherst. But, you know, for right now, I guess I'm kind of thinking about the state duels and winning another title this weekend, and then I'll maybe relax for a week and then start thinking about the off season. So,
hey, Tyler, I'm sure some other media outlets, including maybe this one, have already talked about this, but I want you to bring it up. The team points that you scored, how many team points was this, and what is an Amherst record for the most team points that they've ever scored in the state meet?
Last year we broke the Class D record with 241.5 points. This year we had 201, so not quite that performance of last year, but it's the second most in the history of Class D. So, you know, that 241.5 that we got last year, that's pretty high, and that's going to be awful tough to break. And we had a heck of a tournament this year, 10 medalists. Like I mentioned earlier, all 13 guys won at least two matches, and we still only got to that 201. You know, so 241.5 is going to be a tough one to break, but it's the second time in the history of Class D wrestling a team's got over 200, and so overall, pretty impressive performance. And you know, hopefully next year we got a lot of great guys back, so hopefully we can get close to that number again.
And Tyler Herman, before we let you go, as you said, the state duels are this week. Obviously, you're the number one seed to get Hemmingford in the first round. Talk about Class D and the dual tournament.
You know, we're going to have a lot of tough competition. There's a lot of good teams. D4 is represented really well this year. They had four teams from their district that qualified for the state duels. You know, obviously, you said Hemmingford right off the bat. You know, if we get past them, it looks like a Creighton-Sutherland matchup in the semifinals. And then on the other side of the bracket, you're looking at Winside as the 2 seed and St. Pat's as the 3 seed. So there's some good teams. There's some deep teams. You know, a lot of those teams have at least 12 of the weights filled, if not all the weights. So, you know, it'll be exciting. I like the new format. You know, I mentioned earlier being a part of the NSAA Wrestling Committee with Ron Higdon and some of the great things he's done for our sport. And we met this August and kind of changed the format, the scheduling around for the state duels just to try and make it, you know, a little more appealing to maybe come to those semifinal matches that start at 3 o'clock where you can watch every single class compete. And then you can watch every single class compete at 5 o'clock for your medal matches, your third and fifth. And then finally break it down to formats and watch your finals of A, B, C, and D all together. So the format's a little bit different. I like it. I think it'll be great for the sport. I think it'll be great for the kids. It makes it a little bit longer day, but you know what? If you're a wrestling fan, you're not going to mind that at all. And if you don't want to come till 3 o'clock, hey, you can come from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock and watch some of the best wrestlers in the state.
Coach Herman, you have an opportunity now after, you know, winning 6 straight that the in the area of wrestling, in this area, you can be a really good advocate for all wrestling in the area. Make sure you continue to do that. You always did that when I was at SCM. You always went up to our kids. If you felt they had a good match or if they lost in a close match, you went out of your way to make sure. So you weren't just doing it for Amherst kids. You were doing it for all the kids. You continue to do that. And I'm proud to know you and be around the FKC.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And like you said, I'm not just a – I always say I'm the head coach at Amherst, and I'm biased, but I love seeing everybody else have success too. I love promoting the sport. You know, seeing Colt Lammers from Pleasanton, you know, win a first state title for that school, you know, that was a great thing. Coach Dana Fisher has done a heck of a job there with that program. And, you know, that's exciting to see that. You know, Maxwell had their first state champion. Shelby Rising City had their first state medalist, the first-year program. You know, and I've been pretty blessed to be in the situation I'm in with being on the NSA Wrestling Committee, being on the board of directors for the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association, doing the ratings. So I've had a lot of opportunities to be involved in this sport besides just being a coach. So, you know, I feel very fortunate to be in that situation where I can promote the sport in different ways.
All right, Coach, we'll let you get back to work, and we will see you Saturday at UNK.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Tyler. Tyler Herman, head coach at Amherst, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And again, just a ton of medalists, and congratulations to all those youngsters, no matter what the class was, to Grand Island. Joey Morrison, takes it over from Coach Shadwinkle, and there they are again, another trophy going home to GI. Hastings is on the upswing. Kearney had a lot of medalists. They didn't have the semifinals, quarterfinals, and semifinals like they had probably hoped to have, but they still, as they do on Saturday mornings, wrestled real tough, and just some good ones. Even getting a champ again over at Lexington, it's cool to see some of these guys. And Austin Olson, one of those kids, he was the only Minden representative, got beat and then came all the way back through and beat the kid that beat him earlier in the tournament to take third. Joseph Feldner from Kearney Catholic did the same thing, and that was in the first round. You lose in the first round, it's a long haul back, and especially if you get third. So congratulations to those youngsters. Hey, folks, as you're getting ready for lunch, a lot of places say they're a sports bar and grill, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. You can go in, watch your favorite sporting events, Big Monday, some good basketball going on tonight. Get your Coop Koozie for $5, and then 12-ounce aluminum cans, just $1 all night long while you're watching your basketball. Enjoy their great home-style wings. Maybe you want some pizza, quesadilla, steak, ribs, burgers, appetizers, whatever it is, there's something for everyone at the Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, downtown Kearney. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little turkey, and we're also going to talk a little hoops, but we're going to talk turkey with Gene Beerbohm after this.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
We know choosing a college can be hard, but Central Community College is here to help make that decision a little easier. Join Central Community College March 4th from 9 a.m. to noon on either their Columbus, Grand Island, or Hastings campuses for their campus visit days. Tour the campus of your choice, meet the faculty and staff, and learn what financial aid and scholarships are available to you. To register your visit online, go to cccneb.edu/visit. That's cccneb.edu/visit or call 1-877-222-0780.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Registration is now open at the Hastings YMCA for spring youth sports. This is a great way to get your child involved in some fun activity and team interaction. The spring youth sports season runs April through May with spring soccer, volleyball, and flag football. Parents who volunteer to coach get free registration for their kid to play. Maximum 2 children free per team. Contact the Hastings Y today for more information on coaching a team or for registering your youth for spring soccer, volleyball, or flag football. Find out more at hastingsymca.net.
Hey, Nebraska, if you've been waiting for a great deal on new tires, get to Big O Tires now. Because right now, when you buy 4 Big O brand tires, you'll save $100 instantly. Or buy 4 Big O tires and we'll give you a free all-wheel alignment and a free 5-quart oil change. It's your choice. We've got a great Big O brand tire for you and $100 in instant savings or a free alignment and oil change only at Big O Tires. Tire service straight talk. We're Big O Tires, the team you trust.
Thank you, Daddy. Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Like no other, it's T&L Irrigation, getting you ready for the 2015 season. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation systems. It's their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design. Just a few of the reasons why you should contact your T&L dealer or TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, like no other, taking care of all of Nebraska, the United States, and more than 60 countries worldwide. Well, the 15th annual Fort Kearney Thundering Toms getting ready for their annual banquet coming up this weekend, and we always have Gene Beerbaum in to chat with us about it. And, Gene, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Appreciate the chance always to come in and listen to the knowledge that's in this room. And
that didn't take long, did it?
Well, you know.
Did that during the break. Hey,
30 seconds goes by faster than you think, you know.
Thanks, Gene.
Well, thanks for coming in. Let's hit it right off the who, what, where, when. What do we got going on?
Yeah, thanks. Well, our as you said, the banquet is this Saturday, February 28th. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn this year, change of venue. And it is in the Loper Banquet Halls, which is the area of the Holiday Inn that used to be where the indoor swimming pool was. So people coming down there know where it's at. It's the Holiday Inn, not the Eunice Center. But anyhow, we have two meat buffet there. Doors open at 5, serve a meal at 7. A lot of raffles, silent auction, live auction. And it is a family affair. We have a lot of ladies that come, and they bring the kids too. We will have a BB gun shoot set up. It's an inflatable thing inside that our association has statewide. And so the kids can, I want to say too, we have qualified instructors there that watch this. It's just not, they're not loose cannons going off here. So they do watch that with them. But so the kids have some fun there, and we have a lot of prizes for them. We have, I think, 3 lifetime youth hunt and fish permits that will be given out some way or another during the banquet. So, yeah, we just like to have a family affair and everybody come out.
When's the last time you shot a BB gun?
Well, we're on the air, aren't we?
That's okay, right?
Yesterday. Shot one yesterday.
As long as nobody else does.
I'm not going any further on that one.
The Wild Turkey Federation, it's their 15th annual event coming up this Saturday night here in Kearney. And you can get single tickets, family couple tickets, the kids. Again, I always like to hit that because, as all the organizations say, the way you become an adult hunter is you start pretty much as a youth hunter, and you guys cater as well as anybody to the youth.
Well, and the scary thing is only 6% of Nebraskans have a hunting license, and that's not very many. And what our emphasis is trying to, right now nationwide, it's just called Save the Habitat, Save the Hunt. But we work with Game and Parks. And we all even team up with Pheasants Forever and Ducks Unlimited. We pool our money together with Game and Parks, and then there's matching money that comes from the federal. And it's like a 12-to-1 match. I mean, there's a lot of money there, but that money only comes from the hunters, from hunting permits, hunting items, guns, and that are sold. It's a tax. Been around, I want to say, since the 40s. I'm probably wrong on that, but it's been around a long time. But it's a special tax just that's put on the hunters. So the hunters are providing the money out there to do the habitat restoration, provide youth programs. And by doing that, when we're trying to help the game species, you're also helping non-game species, whether it's robins or, you know, owls or whatever. I mean, yeah, we're concentrating on, in this case, the wild turkey, but it's helping them all, because when you do habitat restoration, it's good for all wildlife.
And that was one of the things, because I know there was a DU banquet here recently, this past weekend in Hastings. They had their Pheasants Forever.
Right.
And I know they were saying in some of those instances their bird population is down. How about wild turkey population?
Well, it's kind of back up again. A couple years ago when we had the drought, Game and Parks said, and I noticed it too when we were out hunting, that the turkeys were down 50%. People say, oh, no way, because, you know, they see them all the time. And a lot of times you're seeing them in the wintertime, we're in the big groups, and then you really think they're not. But there are pockets where they are really up. But when you get out away from the area, out into the air, when you know where you're hunting, you don't. You didn't at that time 2 years ago when the drought was. You didn't see as many because they didn't have a good hatch. They didn't have the moisture they needed for the chicks to get their water, and then the grasses that are needed for the eggs to be hid from the predators, and that applied to pheasants too. It just, you didn't have the good hatches. Then the grasshoppers weren't there. I mean, it all added up that they were down. And then last year we had a good spring and good hatch, and I think it doesn't take them long to come back. Fortunately, you know. So yeah, we're back up. You just have to manage it. You know, that's the key thing there, is trying to manage the wildlife, and it can be tough. I'm not an expert on it, not a biologist, and you know, I just, you know, telling you what I'm told. But it's, yeah, it's we're fortunate that it is up, and it provides. The other thing about the National Wild Turkey Federation has a group called Whelan Sportsmen. We don't have a chapter in Kearney, but Whelan Sportsmen was started years ago when might have been in the Vietnam era, when the vets were coming home and had lost legs and were in wheelchairs. And turkey provides an opportunity for them to go out turkey hunting, I should say, go out and be in a blind and can still hunt. Where pheasant hunting, where you have to walk, it's a little tougher, and sometimes even deer hunting that. So it's a neat spinoff organization of our group that you know, which, and it's not just veterans now. That's where it started, but we do have people that are in a wheelchair that would like to see them get out and enjoy the outdoors one way or another.
Gene Verbaum is with us here in the Doug and Daddy studios, the National Wild Turkey Federation and the local chapter, the Fort Kearney Thundering Toms, and their annual banquet and a fundraiser is this Saturday night at the Holiday Inn in Kearney. A lot of the same favorite items are always up on the auction. I ask you this every year. Is there anything special that you look at or anything new you want to address?
Well, you always have the prints. We don't have as many anymore because guys and gals are saying, well, yeah, we got so many pictures, we don't have any room on the wall to hang anything. So they are getting creative and getting other items. For example, there's one item in here. It's a clock. I guess you could call it a mantle clock, but it is one where you can hide a pistol in it and accessories and lock it up. But it's, you know, if a person feels like they need a gun that they can get to, I mean, that's one way of doing it. Have a like a cedar chest. It also has a hidden compartment where you can put a gun in it. But, you know, boot cleaning doormat, those stiff bristled ones. But there's some practical things where people could use lamps. And now here, this would look good in here. Neon lights in here, yeah, to, you know, let people know when you're on the air. And you know,
kids' fire truck, I like
pots,
that.
Pots and pans.
Stuff that you don't have to be a turkey hunter. If you're
right,
bringing the family out and the wife or the whoever part of the family, you've got so many cool things in there that it doesn't have to all be for that.
Yeah, there's your wine rack holder there, Doug, that, you know, and you put it right with your green egg grill. And I mean, what more can you want? You even got jewelry, so a little bit of everything there. And we have a lot of items for the kids. We'll try to get we're fortunate. We have a lot of businesses that give us toys, things too, just that kids are going to go home with something. And so it's fun. It's,
you know, Gene, you said 6% of the people, I think that's what you said,
yeah,
6%. In the state of Nebraska, have hunting license. I would think that Nebraska would be one of the higher states percentage-wise. You know, Nebraska, South Dakota, maybe Wyoming. You know, some places where there's some hunting done. It seems a little low. What is the norm? What is in the 1970s and 80s? What percent had hunting license?
I don't know what it was then, but the scary thing when you said something there that you would think it'd be a little higher. We are higher nationwide. It's below that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you get into some states that, you know, population-wise, you just don't have the area to hunt.
Correct. New York.
But,
I mean, the state of New York, where they're going to hunt at.
So,
I mean,
you know, you might have 1%, if even that,
right,
in some of those states, and that bring, you know, their averages down. But, you know, I know that it, well, I shouldn't say I know. I would assume it was a lot higher back when we were kids. You know, it just seemed like more people hunted. Well, back then, you know, you see some of these emails and Facebooks where you talk about that when you were a kid, you'd go pheasant hunting before you come to school, and the shotgun would be at the back window, and you'd pull into the school parking lot, and the shotgun would be there, and the superintendent might come out or the principal and look at it and say, hey, that looks close to mine. Let me show you mine. I mean, you know.
Different day, isn't it?
It's just a different. Everybody seemed to carry a gun, and I would say safely. I mean, they didn't. I don't know. The attitude was just different.
And some of that social media, I know we've got a minute here left with Gene Beerbohm, also helps you out. Folks, again, I want to give you the web address, nwtf.org, to learn more about the Save the Habitat, Save the Hunt, where some of the monies go, some of the goals. They're trying to create a ton of hunters, conserve and enhance 4 million acres of critical upland wildlife, open access to 500,000 new acres for hunting and other outdoor recreation. So I'm sure there's some good out of what we're doing now, and a chance to reach a ton more people with all these ways to get out and talk
right,
to people.
Right, and I just gave Jim the sheet that's scheduled this year, the monies that are going in the state of Nebraska to different wildlife management areas where they are spending, you know, maybe $15,000 here and another $10,000 in this one. I mean, they're just all over the state in that habitat restoration and trying to keep wildlife around so there is something for our youth to go do.
Anything specific in our area lately that you wanted to touch on?
I would have to look at I don't know specific right immediate one. The Rose Sanctuary, grassland restoration. How much is that one, Jim?
$2,500
there. And again, that could be in conjunction with pheasants, ducks, pheasants forever, ducks unlimited. I mean, that's just what we're spending there. So, but it's almost always with conjunction with game and parks and trying to improve things for everything.
Gene Beerbohm with us, Fort Kearney Thundering Toms. It's going on. Doors open social at 5 o'clock. The dinner starts at 7 coming up on Saturday at the Holiday Inn. Tickets, I know you guys always like to know a head count.
Yeah. If people want to go, please give me a call if they would. And my number is 440-2449. 440-2449. Because head count is so important when you're doing a banquet like this. It's really nice to know so that we can tell them how many meals to prepare, because we don't want to go short. We don't want to go long. I mean, obviously, you got some leeway there. But if they can give me a call, if they can fill the membership cards out ahead of time, it saves them time at the door too, where they don't have to print in their name and address and all that stuff. You can do that ahead of time, and it'll just speed things up for people getting in the door too.
Gene, anything else that folks need to know?
No, we just invite. I feel bad that we're going, you know, talking wrestling earlier, because I like working that. I've been an old wrestling coach that I've helped with that before up at UNK on that duel, so I hate missing that. But maybe next year we won't have the two things at the same time. But, we'd certainly love to have anybody come out and enjoy and see what we're all about.
Gene Beerbohm with the Fort Kearney Thundering Toms and the National Wildlife Turkey Federation. Their hunting heritage event here in Kearney is this Saturday night at the Holiday Inn. Gene, I hope all goes well, and thanks for the time.
Appreciate it.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Back with more after this.
Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating has several certified plumbers on staff that can take your call quickly. Projects like new construction, renovations, remodeling, higher efficiency equipment upgrades, backflow prevention, retrofits, and everything in between. Day or night, they will gladly accept your emergency call. For over 60 years, Anderson Brothers is the place to call for plumbing.
Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Holden, you haven't moved in hours.
I know. I need to exercise, but I don't have the motivation.
It's not like you have to run 10 miles or do 1,000 push-ups. All it takes is some physical activity. A short walk, a bike ride, or some disc golf.
That's it?
Just 30 minutes a day will add years to your life.
Wow. I can find that much time every day to be active. It might even be kind of fun.
For more information and helpful resources, check out ActivateBuffaloCounty.com, powered by Buffalo County Community Partners and Safe Routes to School.
We're looking for exemplary students at accredited four-year institutions to apply for one of two $1,500 scholarships from ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM and the Nebraska Broadcasters Association Foundation. Applicants need to have at least 60 credits or their degree in broadcasting by May 31st of this year and have either graduated from a Nebraska high school or are attending a four-year institution located in Nebraska. Contact us here at the station or download complete rules and forms. Click on to ESPNSuperstation.com. Looking to help the best and the brightest? ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 AM.
Last year, Kearney Little League won their fifth consecutive Nebraska State Championship, and over 500 area boys and girls played baseball in Kearney Little League. Get your player signed up now for the 2015 season. There's an evening program for ages 8 to 15 and a daytime program run by UNK Baseball for 6 and 7-year-olds. Thank you again to our 2014 sponsors. Sign up at KearneyLittleLeague.org or at the Harmon Park Activity Center on Monday, March 2nd from 6 till 9.
Play ball!
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Wrapping things up on a Monday. 30 years ago that Bobby Knight threw the chair, huh?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what all this is going on right now. Daytona 500. Let's throw this out there. A couple of comments out there. What was a bigger meltdown, the Husker basketball team or all the wrecks in the Daytona? Again, why don't we talk NASCAR on this show very often? And I'll admit it, I make more fun of it than I do serious. Now, the last time we talked about it, I don't even know what I brought up. But it was something on a serious note. But again, I'm sorry, folks. You know, pad your walls, don't pad your walls. I'm not talking about that. What the hell are you racing on Saturday for? You don't play. You don't have a scrimmage the night before the Super Bowl. You don't have an exhibition game before game one of the World Series. If this is your Super Bowl, then set aside the week and you have one race. I mean, sorry, you keep trying to sell me, and then you keep trying to sell me on your sport, and then at the end, we have a wreck and a wreck. You just knew there was going to be a wreck in the Daytona 500. You just don't know in the last 10 laps. You just don't know which lap. And it ends? I mean, it's like, Jimmy, can you imagine have the basketball? We got the 40-point rule now, and sometimes there might be a foul and a girl or a guy is at the free throw line and the game ends because the clock's continuously running. That's what happened in NASCAR at their biggest event of the year yesterday. We're not at the finish line yet, but oh, here's a caution because there was a wreck a half mile back, which was what? What? They had to throw out the caution flag. No, they didn't. What, they had to throw it out to keep the order? Okay, I get that. We had to know who was 29th through 40th. Fine, whatever. But this start and stop and start and stop, I'm sorry. You can't sell me on this bogus Super Bowl of racing when that is the event you give me. I mean, seriously? I'm sorry. I don't know, Jimmy. I don't know if we've ever talked NASCAR specifically with you on, but if you're a fan, a non-fan, don't care. But people keep trying to sell me on their sport, and it just keeps being a joke. I'm sorry. NASCAR, you go ahead. Fan, defend it. Defend it. Defend it to heart's content. But you have an event that, for all the three things that I just said, makes no sense to me. Go to it. Cheer your hearts out. Have your favorite racer. Enjoy it. I get it. But don't try to bring it up there with some of the great sports that we have going on. You have a wreck that knocks out one of your top drivers the day before. What is he doing out there anyway?
You want me to comment on
something? Well, if you want to. I'm giving you the floor.
Well, the only thing I can think of, it's hard for me to get excited about a sport where the athlete really doesn't do it as much as I would think. I know, I guess it's important to make decisions and when to go and when, but I mean, it seems like the vehicle's doing a lot of the work here. You know, it looks like the vehicle, because last time I knew, and they're going 200 mile an hour, a human being, if they can go 24 miles an hour, is having a heck of a day, you know. So it's pretty hard for me to really get excited about that. You know, I do like horse racing, and I know the horse has a lot to do with it, though. You know what I mean? It's not the jockey so much. So I don't go on and want people to defend my sport either. I'll either go or don't go. But, you know,
opening weekend at fun.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, I'll tell you what, at least we have a track and we get to watch him, and we only have to drive about 45 miles to get there, 42.7. But, you know, the main thing is, you know, when you really think about it, Doug, we just don't have a whole lot of NASCAR guys around here, do we?
We got a lot of NASCAR guys around here.
Oh, we do?
We got a lot of NASCAR guys around here. And, again, I'm not attacking the person that's trying to that loves NASCAR. I'm saying don't try and sell me your sport. I'm sorry. You tried to sell me the Daytona 500 yesterday? Come on. Come on. Give me a break. A couple other sports notes. Let's run down the ticket and ticker and all this. Nebraska women were a winner by the May. We talked about the men, the Tim Miles situation. It's just not pretty out there. I mean, they're going to go to Ohio State, and that's just – there's no way that can be pretty coming up on Thursday night for Coach Tim Miles and his squad. Coach Miles, you could tell yesterday after the basketball game, it wasn't pretty, and he apologized to the fans. And here's a couple of the comments from what Coach Miles had to say yesterday. In fact, one of the first comments he made.
You never want to throw your players under the bus. That was just beyond disappointing. That's not what we represent. Like I told our guys, when I was at Southwest Minnesota State, I was the basketball coach there, and to pay for shoes, we used to have to go to the Renaissance Festival in Shakopee, Minnesota for a weekend and pick up trash. If I had the option, I would do that tonight, tomorrow, and the next day and pay back the fans their cost of attendance, their ticket.
Now, Miles did say something about locking the locker room. Guys better find a new way to earn their way on. And he just again says, you know, they don't deserve this.
Our fans have been so supportive and so great. And you get 15,000 people out there, and then you just go non-compete mode. I thought we showed a softness, lack of leadership, and a lack of willingness to listen to leadership. It's unacceptable. And you have to have a great amount of pride to compete when things aren't going well. And we just didn't show any pride.
Jimmy, how much – he's in a situation now where this slide, he's probably hit about every little coaching tactic. Be mean, be kind, hug, shun. Where do you go when you've used them all up? What does he do next? Because he's got three more games, and they'll be underdogs in all of them.
Yeah, he's in a tough situation as a coach. No coach wants to be in the situation that he's in right now. When he took the job, this is the one thing he tried to avoid. Last year, people would come up to him and go, hey, you know, Nebraska hasn't been in the NCAA tournament for 8 years. He'd say, hey, don't bring that on me. That was before I got here. This was things that happened way before I got here. Our players, we have nothing to do with what happened in the past. You know, so I like that card. I like the way he played that card. But this time he's taken... he's taking the fall with his team, and they've got to go down together. This is something that they have to do. And if they don't like going down together, then they got to find a way to get a win every once in a while. That's all you can do. I mean, playing Maryland close was fun, but you've got to find a way to step up and get a win. I can remember my coaching career, and I mean, it was at Ravana one year, where we got beat 75-35 by St. Cecilia. And I actually, we were down about 20, and I pulled my starters. We had a game the next day. And the next day, we had a big game against Centura. And Terry Techmeyer ended up hitting a shot at the buzzer, and we won it 38-37. We wore blue shorts and white pants. We changed our uniforms. We did everything that we could. But if we'd have lost that game, it would have been really, really hard to lose it. Because we put so much emphasis on it because we got beat so bad the night before. And I remember how that kind of almost, saved the season for us a little bit. I mean, even though we didn't win a bunch of games in a row, we did not lose a bunch of games in a row. You know, we'd win and then we'd lose and we'd win, we'd lose. You know, the next 2 years we went to the state tournament. So it was kind of a big shot that he hit, because what happens if you don't hit a shot like that and you end up losing three or four in a row, everybody starts second guessing. Guess who they second guess first? It's the head coach. And you've got to make good decisions. You've got to, the decisions you make, let's say you have somebody that, okay, we have a freshman that stepped up a little bit. He gets more playing time now. You know, he went up to Maryland and he played. He needs more playing time. And some of the guys that aren't stepping up, they have less playing time. That's what it's about. And as long as you're doing that, you don't lose your credibility.
Well, somebody's getting more, somebody's getting less.
That's right. But it's about how you play. It's got to be about how you play, because if you just go, I'm going to go with this guy again because he started every game, if he keeps losing for you, you lose your credibility. So I think that's the one thing. If you're asking me, he's got to make some changes. I have no problem with him making some changes, even if they don't work. You know, but he's going to have to make some changes. But one thing about it, some of these freshmen can be playing next year for him.
More from Coach Miles.
Yeah.
They like each other. Do we have the right mix of players playing together? Obviously not, because I haven't been able to put the right groups out that consistently perform well on both offense and defense. And I think this is the first time we've allowed 50% for an opponent in 38 games. And the next closest in the Big Ten was 14. We had this unbelievable streak of excellent defense. And so that tells you everything. There's not a stat on there, you know, whether we scored X amount of points or did that. We were just awful today.
Nebraska women, they are scratching by. They beat a bad Indiana team on the road by 3, so any road win is good. They will host Minnesota tomorrow and wrap up the regular season hosting Ohio State Sunday. You mentioned UNK. Connor Baronic, again, is the MIAA Basketball Player of the Week. Saturday was his birthday, so he thought he'd go get 20 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, and do all that in just 26 minutes. And maybe he should have suited up down in Lincoln yesterday. Fort Hays State, the women, they're playing tough against these rated teams. It'd be nice to get an upset against one of them, but they fell to Hays 81-71. The regular season wraps up for the Lopers this weekend at Northeastern State and Central Oklahoma. Hastings College, Mikey Will had a big men's game. He was calling that game 119-114, double overtime. Hastings was down 21, come back and win it. They will be the 8th seed in the GPAC tournament at the top seed Morningside Wednesday at 8 on 1230 KHAS. For the women, 99-84, 99 points in a collegiate women's game. Hastings College doing that. They'll be the 3rd seed and host Doan Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Boys play-in games are tonight in Class C and D for the sub-districts. Superior and Franklin will play at Minden. Centura and Burwell will play at Ord. Also in D1, it'll be Shelton and Harvard playing at Hastings St. Cecilia. And in D2, SEM and Stapleton will be playing at Broken Bow. Loomis and Eustace Farnham will be playing at Holdridge. For other wrestling, Hastings College has 3 making it to the NAIA National Tournament. Alex Chantepetit, Trey Trujillo, and Connor Blanco this weekend. Nebraska picked up dual wins outside of the conference against Drexel and Princeton. Mark Manning becomes the all-time winningest coach with his 200th dual victory. Nebraska baseball, 3-4 from BYU. That's what they were supposed to do, wasn't it? Take 3-4. They win 9-1. They'll go to Loyola Marymount this weekend. Max Ayoub, he's got to be the baseball player of the week. He had 4 home runs, 11 RBIs, 5 runs scored, an inside-the-park home run, and the Lopers took 2-3 from Central Oklahoma. They're supposed to have their home opener this weekend. What do you think about the odds on that?
I think they'll have it. It'll be extremely cold that day. How about that? Like it is every other time they have their home over. Hey, you know, that and Max, when he was in Grand Island as a Legion player, I used to umpire him, and he was always a great kid. He really protected you. When you were the home plate umpire, if the ball was in the dirt, he stayed right in there with it and always protected you. I'm glad he's having a great year. You know, and some kids from Kearney are having good years for UNK too, Doug. So, yeah, the hats off to UNK. What are they, like 8-7 now, something like that? Help me out. I think that's what the record is. 7-6. UNK, 7-6-8-7.
Let me get 8-6.
8-6. Yep, half close. Right in there, 7-6-8-7.
Hastings College played the third-ranked team in the country. They continue that tough schedule. They went 1-2 down at Oklahoma Wesleyan. They're heading to Bethany this weekend. Softball, UNK will still be looking for their first win of the season when they head to Missouri Southern State this weekend. Hastings College went 1-2. Nebraska went 2-3. Tri-City Storm, the hard-to-do 1-1-1 weekend. A shootout loss, a win, and then they lost to Sioux City yesterday 4-3, and they'll take on Sioux City at home this Friday and Saturday. GPAC Track Championships. Lauren Shoemaker of Hastings in the 5,000, Jennifer Magg in the shot put, and the Hastings men 4x4. All were winners in that 4x4 set a new meet record. And we'll talk more track with UNK's Brady Bonzel as well coming up on Wednesday's Doug and Daddy show. And I think that gets us to the end here. Terrence Crawford going to be named the Boxer of the Year by Ring Magazine today. The young man out of Omaha, that is. pumped a little life into the sport, and the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight may pump more into that as well.
I saw that was $200 million, Doug. Hey, did you see what the minimum salary is for Major League Baseball this year? Do you know what it is? Minimum salary? $507,000 minimum.
Man, don't know if I could get up and go hit a baseball all year long for that.
I could.
And if you play on a bad team, you get even more time off.
There you go.
Hey, we want to thank Gene Beerbaum with the Wild Turkey Federation. They have their banquet this Saturday night, Holiday Inn in Kearney. Also want to thank Tyler Herman, head coach of the state champion wrestling team at Amherst for the sixth consecutive year. Tomorrow, Damon Day, co-host Sean Callahan, makes his run through the Tri-Cities. He's in Hastings Tuesday at the Lark. Wednesday, Cunningham's in Kearney. Bandits in Grand Island Thursday. He'll join us to talk about his spring tour tomorrow here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!